Through the Lord Jesus Christ we come unto thee, our Father and our God, and in the Holy Spirit. No man can reach the heart of another. We can speak the words that will come to men's ears, but thou alone canst do the great miracle of bridging the distance between the ear and the heart. So wilt thou do thy work and take thy truth as we send it forth in this hour, and use it to thy glory. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The message today has to do with our inheritance in Christ, and my feelings as I approach my text could be likened to that of a lawyer, a benevolent lawyer, who, having made the will for a very wealthy client, and knowing that she had decided not to give her great estate to a few nieces and nephews, bootlickers, sycophants, fawning upon her, but to leave everything she had to a very worthy distant cousin, has the joy at the reading of the will to see this person, poor but honest, suddenly learn that everything contained in the will belongs to her. My text in Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Let me read the three or four verses that precede my text. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." The implications of what God is telling us are that our inheritance is not only for a distant future, but for now also. You know, people sometimes say, "All this and heaven too?" Well, I'd say, "Heaven and all this too?" For it is the "all this too" that we want to emphasize. At the beginning of this text, there are two privileges, children and heirs. But you will notice that there is only one if. If children, then heirs. The fact of our inheritance follows irrevocably from the fact that we are children. But there has to be an if in front of the children, because not everyone is a child of God. One of the commonest heresies is that God is the father of all men and that all men are brothers. That simply is not true. There isn't a line in the Bible which would justify such a thing. If children. Now don't misunderstand. It's not a question of denying racial brotherhood. Take, for instance, here on one side, a certain group of people. One is a Negro, one is a Tarascan Indian, one a Chinese, and one an Aryan. If this group loves the Lord Jesus Christ, then they are brothers of each other, and God is their father. But suppose we look at another group made up of a Negro who does not believe in Jesus Christ, a Tarascan Indian who does not believe in Jesus Christ, a Chinese who does not believe in Jesus Christ, and the white man who does not believe in Jesus Christ, and others who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Then these are brothers of each other, and they are the children of wrath and children of disobedience, and perhaps some of them have become children of Satan. However, the two groups, the one believing and the other unbelieving, cannot be brothers to each other. They are neighbors, but they are not brothers. There are two families and two fatherhoods, and that is one of the most important lessons that the Bible has to teach us. The Bible flatly tells us in John 1:12, "To as many as received Christ, to them he gave the power, the authority, the permission to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now in the King James Version, this reads, "To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become." In the Greek, there are several different words which are translated power. There is kratos, for instance, from which we get aristocrat, plutocrat, autocrat, and democrat. Then there is dunamis, from which we get our words dynamo and dynamite, the explosive power. Then there is also another Greek word, exousia, which means a permit, a ration book in modern Greece. This is the word that is used in John 1:12. "To as many as received him, to them he gave the exousia, the permit." That's why any minister who stands up and preaches the universal fatherhood of God and the Universal Brotherhood of Man is dealing in black market religion because he does not have the permit, the ration book, the authority. As many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. Now my text says, if children, then heirs. This is logical in God's language, because with God there can be no disinheritance, since everything is by grace. Man, of course, is almost irremediably addicted to the desire to do something for himself. The religion that man can lift himself to heaven by pulling on his own coat lapels is very heavily established in the thinking of men. They do not want to stand as we must, bankrupt before God, and admit that they should be forever cast from his presence. For we have so many nice people that really do not think that they should go to hell. In fact, I've often asked audiences to write down on a piece of paper, put this down, I, John Doe, or Mary Rowe, whatever your name is, I truly deserve to go to hell. And someone will say, but I don't think I do. Let me say to you again, if you do not think that you should be separated from God, then you have no knowledge of either the holiness of God or the sinfulness of sin. But once you comprehend the holiness of God and the sinfulness of sin, you say, but God, how did I get in? How was I saved? And God says, I loved you. But why? Because I am love. I am the God of sovereign grace. I, God, deal with second-hand merchandise. For God is the greatest junk dealer the world has ever seen. Yes, you didn't know that, did you? And if you think that you're not junk, then you can't go to heaven. For God says, in effect, I will not take anyone into heaven who has not first passed through the junkyard, thus saying, Lord, I am blasted by sin. Someone may say, but Lord, that's very demeaning to my pride. That's right, says God. Back in Jeremiah, God says, I will stain the pride of man. He must, for one of the things that God will never permit in heaven is human pride. Paul says in Romans 3, where is boasting then? It is excluded. But again, someone says, but Dr. Barnhouse, are you sure you're going to be in heaven? I'm just as sure that I'm going to be in heaven as I'm sure that Christ is going to be there. Well, how do you dare to say that? Are you good enough? No, indeed, and that's just the point. If getting into heaven had anything to do with my character or my good works, then I would have to say something like this. Look, I've put wedges in my shoes and I've reached the mark. I pass, I pass, and I've pulled down God's measure so that I'm equal to it, and thus I'm going to get into heaven. And that would be arrant boasting. But when I say, Lord, I can never reach to that which thou dost demand, I'm bankrupt. Then the answer comes, open up your bankrupt hand, and I will put life into it, eternal life. Oh, surely God will never put eternal life into the heart and hands that do not acknowledge that they have nothing, nothing in them. That's why we sing it in one of our great hymns, for nothing good I have, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. And that's why we sing in Rock of Ages, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite? No. Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. And that next verse, which is so important, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. If you can sing that, then I want to tell you that you're a child of God, for Christ has died in order to redeem you. Now in Hebrews 9, he gives the beautiful figure of the fact that an inheritance on the earth is worth nothing until the testator dies. If you're a child, then you're an heir, and the Lord Jesus says, I have made my will, and I died, then I rose from the dead in order to become the executor of my own estate. and therefore the inheritance is yours, and I, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, guarantee it to you. Then our text goes on to say that if children, then heirs. Think of inheriting everything that God has. We cannot truly comprehend this. Why, the silver and the gold are his, and the cattle on a thousand hills. And we're not only heirs with God, but we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This phrase, joint heir, actually means heirs on absolute equality. Suppose a man has a 5,000-acre estate, magnificent home, and 4 sons. Now if he says to his 4 sons, I'm leaving this property to you as my heirs, they could say, well, this is a beautiful estate, let's sell it and split it 4 ways. But if the man should make each son a joint heir, then each one of the 4 children can say, this is my house, and those are my fields. One of them could not say, this house is mine, and those fields are my brother's. But all of it belongs equally to all of them. Now may I emphasize that we are heirs with Christ, not only of what he has, but heirs of what he does, and heirs of what he is. Heirs of what he does? Yes. Of judgment and of blessing. Let me remind you that in Psalm 2 it speaks of Jesus the judge. There it tells us that the Lord Jesus will come again as administrator and judge for God. It says that he shall rule with a rod of iron and dash his enemies to pieces as a potter's vessel. Believers who have already passed through the judgment of the cross shall never face judgment again. For Romans 8:1 says that there is now no condemnation, no judgment, to them that are in Christ Jesus. He paid it all. He took our judgment. Now God is not unjust. He has collected my bill, my account, in full from Christ. Thus we are heirs with Christ in blessing. It's quite biblical at a wedding for a bridegroom, as he puts the ring upon the finger of his bride, to say, with all my worldly goods I thee endow. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saved us, he endowed us immediately with all of his eternal riches. Thus we read in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, in Romans 8:32, we read, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? Yes, they are all for us. Does Christ have love and fellowship with the Father? Then we have love and fellowship with the Father. Read carefully the 17th chapter of John, where Jesus prays the Father, oh, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. I want you particularly to note that in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7, my text is put in the singular, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This gets it out of the collectivity and brings it down to what God wants you to experience individually. Some of the strength of Christianity has been lost because we as individuals have not laid hold upon the riches which God has for us, and we have not lived in this inheritance. If we have not, it is because we do not ask, or because we ask amiss. Years ago, the story goes, at the early part of this century, when the great immigration from Ireland to this country was in full course, there was a young fellow who saved enough money to buy steerage passage from Liverpool to New York. He went over from Ireland to Liverpool to get the boat, and thinking that he might be hungry on the way, he went into a shop and bought himself a couple of pounds of cheese and a tin of biscuits, the type of biscuits which they have for use at sea, hardtack, I think they call it. For the first day on the boat, he had cheese and hardtack. The next day, he had hardtack and cheese. By the third day, the sea air was making the cheese hard and the biscuits soft, and it was an unpalatable mess. To make it worse, a waiter came along with a tray taking food to one of the cabins. And that food smelled, oh, so good to the Irishman. Quickly, he counted his few remaining shillings, for he wanted to arrive in New York with as much as possible, and when the waiter came back, he stopped him and said, how much does it cost to go into the dining room and get a meal? The waiter said, do you have your ticket? And the man, of course, had his ticket, and the waiter said, but don't you know that all the meals on the boat are free with your ticket? It's a sure thing that with the ticket, there is all that one can possibly eat And here was this poor man, subsisting on cheese and hardtack. Don't laugh, don't laugh. This is a sad thing. For do you know that multitudes of Christians within the hearing of my voice are going to heaven in just such a miserable way? Cheese and cracker Christians. God has said that everything is included in your ticket. You are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And you have gone over to the little shop and you've sat in your corner munching your own provisions and have failed to take all that which God has promised to you in Christ. Oh, beloved, listen to me carefully. My text says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? Then shall we not lay hold upon these riches which are ours? Shall we live like paupers while possessing all things? Shall we, who are the children of the King, live like beggars? God has given us all spiritual riches in Christ. All things are ours. God has said regarding material things which are so very secondary, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Someone may say, but now let's be practical. Practically, how can this be? Practically. Why, in your heart of hearts, close the door, and there before God say, my dear Heavenly Father, thou hast called me thy child. I have been to the cross, and there I know that Jesus Christ has dealt with my sin, and I am thy child. Give me the sense of my need. Increase it, and then give me the sense of thy provision, the inheritance, that I may live, not poorly, penuriously, but largely, not as a child of famine, but as a child of plenty. And God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, will begin to increase your horizons, make you to comprehend that which is yours in Christ, and you shall know that because you are his child, then you are an heir, heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And our God and Father, we pray thee that the Holy Spirit shall take this message to many hearts and use it to thy glory, that there may be many, many who shall enter into the richness of spiritual triumph, of joy and victory and all that thou hast for us in Christ. We ask it in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus. Amen.